Here's the thing about the World Series. It really doesn't matter to me that the Dodgers won.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't. No, the thing's got an asterisk anyhow. It's not a legit World Series.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
So, because I know you're expecting me to come on and rant. And I'm just not. It doesn't matter.
Oh.
It doesn't. It's an asterisk. I don't think it's a legit World Series. Do you think it's a legit World Series?
Yeah.
Actually, it is the perfect way to end the 2020 season.
Oh.
No, it is. It's not Kevin Barker. It is a perfect way to end the 2020 season because, one, we're having a debate about analytics and the role in the game.
How about that?
Okay? And not even a pandemic. Yeah. We're having a debate about analytics.
I thought we'd be having it about the other manager, though. Not the manager that should be the best at it in the history of baseball.
Anyhow. We got a debate about analytics, and that's going to go on all offseason, which is great. It's just going to it's going to create churn. And even more perfect, I mean, it's not great, but it's so fitting in 2020. We had Justin Turner taken out of the game after a test for COVID-19. And then basically decide, I'm going to go back in the field and join my teammates, even though I've tested positive now. I'm going to join my teammates. I'm going to join their families. I believe there were still fans in the stands. Yeah. I'm going to go out.
Kids on the field, I believe.
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why it perfectly sums up 2020 for me. I'm not going to get political here, but this perfectly sums up 2020 to me. Because Justin Turner could have done one of two things. He could have gone into quarantine, which, you know, best case, best practices, medical practices, social health suggests is good. He could have done that. He could have done the responsible thing.
Yeah.
Or like millions of people, he decided, you know what? I'm more important than anybody else. I'm so important that I'm going to go out on the field, even though I know I'm positive. I may feel good, but I know I've tested positive for COVID-19. Yeah. I'm going to go out on the field. It doesn't matter to me that Major League Baseball security people told me not to go out in the field. I'm going to go out on the field. The Dodgers general manager, Andrew Friedman, he's kind of could be his last year here, and he was a very important part of the team. All his teammates, he's a very important part of this team. His manager who is a cancer survivor, he's a very important part of this team and a big part of the community. What this gets to is at the end of the day, there's two things. The analytics in baseball, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. We could talk about the other stuff as well, but I want to talk about the game itself. But I got to get this off my chest because at the end of the day, what you saw on the field was a perfect example of why we have such an issue dealing with COVID-19. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if the government tells me you can have 20 people, 15 people, 12 people, 4 people over to your house for turkey dinner. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they tell you got to wear a mask on the subway. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you got to wear a mask when you go in the store, you got to wear a mask if you go into a restaurant. It's all about personal responsibility. And what we saw last night was somebody, as millions of Americans do, and as a lot of Canadians have done, decide, but it's when am I ever going to win another World Series again? So what the hell? It was Jeff Passan summed it up perfectly on ESPN.com. Baseball is no longer America's sport. It's not. That's the NFL. There's no doubt about it. But last night, baseball was more representative of the United States and what's going on in the United States than any sport that has attempted to come back from the pandemic. Because we saw an immediate, just a horrible lack of personal responsibility from Justin Turner. So Kevin Barker, we're going to go to the phone lines. Buck Martinez is going to join us as well. 590-590 is a text line. I'm going to ask you this. If you're Justin Turner in that situation, it's a World Series now. You may not get another one. The numbers would suggest you won't. Do you go out on the field?
Not a chance.
Really? I'm going to be honest here.
No.
I might.
I'm not a doctor. I have no idea what takes place with COVID. I've never had COVID. I don't know how that feels, whatever. I just know that somebody's told me that I have it, and it's very contagious. And they are basically saying, go quarantine yourself until we tell you otherwise, until we can figure out what we need to do with you and keep everybody else around you safe. You basically said no to that never mind. I'm going to go out and sit right beside my manager, who is a cancer survivor, and totally disregard his health and well-being, which, again, nobody on this show is a doctor. We just know what we listen to all the time
right.
about the situation, about how this pandemic is all about and what it takes to try and survive it and just get past it and move on with it. And then you have a baseball player who just, for whatever reason, that just decided to, you know, go out and kiss his wife and hug people and sit beside managers. And I, no. So the answer to that would be no. Right. I would rather lock myself in a room. People walk by the room. I'm yelling and screaming. I'm so excited for me, my teammates. You know, I try and figure out a way to get past it. I try and figure out a way to keep my family as safe as I possibly can, and I try and move on. Okay. Other than that, no, I'm not going back on the field.
We're very pleased to be joined by Buck Martinez, who has a flight to catch. And, Buck, first of all, yeah, every time I get you on, terrific work on the on the telecast, as per usual. I don't even know why I say it, because I just did. There's
it's
an assumption. It's a habit, but
it
there's
is.
An assumption there. It was really good. Look, I know you had your say about the decision to take Blake Snell out during the telecast. I also know that you and Kevin are pretty tight. I'm not going to ask you to spoil a confidence or anything here, but have you heard anything in the last 24 hours or so that changes what you think about that decision?
No, not at all. I you know, I love Kevin. He played for me in spring training and all of that, and I think he does a hell of a job as a manager. I think his decision is indefensible. When you see the way he was dominating those top four hitters in the lineup, he struck out those top four hitters 7 times in 8 plate appearances, and they had no chance. Not only did he strike them out, they didn't have any good at-bats against him. They were playing on the way at him. And as soon as they took him out of the game, the Dodger dugout went, okay, we got him now. And I just think, you know, once again, you know, and here's another thing that doesn't factor in. Everybody says, well, Nick Anderson's been doing it for us all year long. He'd given up runs in all but 2 of his postseason outings. Mm-hmm. He wasn't throwing very well, and there was no reason to bring him in. If I was going to bring somebody in right there, you know what I'd bring in? Ryan Thompson. Ryan Thompson wasn't giving up anything, and he was a funky sidearmer, and you give him a different look for a couple of innings, and that might have worked. But I don't agree with it at all, and I think, you know, once again, the history of the analytics, and we could have this discussion forever, but the eye test told everybody in that ballpark Blake Snell wasn't giving up anything.
Buck, do you think he's lost the room, or do you think it matters that he lost it, if he did lose it?
You know what, Kevin, they love the guy, and even after the game, Blake Snell said, I love him, he's a great manager, and, you know, I wanted to stay in that game, but boy, oh boy, that's a tough one, because I mean, you were right there, and everything that he did, he struck out the side in the first inning, and that sends a message to his teammates, I got this. Mm-hmm. You guys figure out how to score some runs. I got this. And he was doing everything he could to help his team win that game, and I just don't think that you can justify taking him out.
Buck, do you think this changes how front offices handle their anything that has to do with their baseball team?
No, unfortunately, I don't. I think they just have so much belief in the analytics and the data and everything else that they don't allow. And you know what? There are so many baseball people now that are out of the game. And the veterans are all gone, and the guys with the experience are all gone. And, you know, and Hazel told me this, and she sent me the link of Dan O'Dowd talking about wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the greatest analogy of the analytics, wisdom and knowledge. You know, wisdom is the guy that knows the airline pilot, the manual from front to back. And, you know, knowledge. And then the wisdom is the guy that can land the plane when an engine goes out.
Mm-hmm.
So I want that kind of guy in my pilot. But you know what? No, I don't think it's going to change anything.
You know, one of the storylines that has kind of emerged today, and, you know, I credit Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times for kind of really hammering this. And, you know, I got to say this out front. Nick Anderson made clear that he wasn't making excuses. Everybody who knows Nick Anderson says he's not the type of guy who's going to make an excuse. But I'm looking at his workload in the postseason, Buck. He had a heavy workload, and he said last night, and maybe I was a little gassed. Like, he wasn't making excuses. But I wonder if maybe, yeah, taking Blake Snell out was indefensible. But I wonder if maybe when you go back and look at this decision, the focus might be more on who came in. Like you mentioned Ryan Thompson. I wondered about Diego Castillo. That's the first name I thought of. But as a manager, look, you've got to know if your guys are gassed, don't you?
Think about game one. Game one was a pretty good indicator that they were worried about their bullpen because those three guys didn't pitch in game one.
Mm.
And everybody said, you know, how come you're bringing Ryan Yarbrough in this game when it should be Fairbanks or Anderson or Castillo? But they knew they had to give those guys a break because they were pushed hard in the Houston series. And, yeah, they were up 3-0, and that would have been a different story had they dispatched the Astros quickly, but they pushed them to a seventh game. And when that happened, that bullpen really got worn down. And you cannot re-energize a bullpen over the matter of two or three days. Once they get worn out, it's going to take a while for them to get their batters recharged. And, you know, I just think that their bullpen was out of gas. Anderson didn't have his curveball late in the season and all throughout the postseason. Like I said, I think he made 10 appearances and only two were scoreless in the postseason. But, you know, and there again, you know, well, he's been doing it for us all year. Well, let your eyes tell you that he's not doing it right now. And he's not the guy right now. So, yeah, it's a tough one. And it's going to take them a while to get over that if they ever do.
Yeah, do you think Brandon Lau's performance in the playoff changes what the Rays think of him?
Boy, that's a tough question because, I mean, he did come up with some big home runs. And, you know, I think the one thing is, you know, the Blue Jays kind of started this exposure of that weak spot upstairs. They started elevating fastballs. And Matt Shoemaker did it in the postseason. He did it in a wild card where he elevated at 93-94 and got him out. And, you know, he's just going to have to get disciplined to lay off that pitch because there's a fine line between that one he can hit and the one he can't hit. And he keeps swinging at that one that's just above the one he can hit. So it's going to be a challenge for him to revamp his approach a little bit. But, you know, here's another guy, too. And I think there was a dramatic difference between Arozarena and Lau. Arozarena could figure out how to get the barrel to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Lau is a product of hitting gurus and hit by the numbers and all that. And when he didn't get his pitch, he couldn't figure out how to get to the other pitches. Where Arozarena was hitting balls up around his head, he was hitting balls off the ground, he was hitting balls all over because he was a product of the sandlots figuring out how can I hit that ball in that direction with this bat. And that's the way he hit throughout the whole postseason.
Okay, do you think it's fair for me to think that Mookie Betts is the best player in baseball? It's not Mike Trout anymore just because of how he played in the playoffs.
He was terrific, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was.
And you're talking about putting on a clinic on how you play baseball. He did it in the field. He did it on the bases. He did it at the plate. And the two times that he scored in game one and game six, when he scored on a ground ball to first base, I mean, that was pretty incredible. And we showed it last night, the secondary lead he had. I mean, he was a third of the way to home by the time that the ball was hit. And then as soon as Choi had it, he had no chance. And, you know, he did that to Diaz in game one, and he did it to Choi. But, you know, you draw the infield in. I mean, you know, he was a little bit in that regard. It reminded me of Ichiro when he first came up in 2001, how he could take a game over with his legs. And Mookie certainly did that.
Mm-hmm. Buck, listen, I know you got a flight. We really appreciate you doing this. Again, terrific work all year. Extenuating circumstances, to say the least. And, you know, I tell you the same thing I've told Dan Shulman. And if you're talking to Matt Vasgersian, please pass it on. Just the work was terrific given the restrictions you guys were under. It really was. I felt like I was at the ballpark.
Hear, hear.
And that's the biggest compliment I can give anybody at this time.
I appreciate that, Jeff. Thanks. It's been great spending time with you all season, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Take care.
Take care, Kevin.
See you later, Buck.
Buck Martinez was the part of the international coverage along with Matt Vasgersian. And they did. Everybody who was doing remote, Danny and Jessica and Buster and everybody who was working remote. I don't know. Terrific work in bringing the World Series. As I said, I really did feel like I was there in a couple of times. And that is an art form. 590-590 is a text line. The numbers to call in. We are taking calls. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Whatever you want to talk about the World Series. Kevin Cash's decision. I'm a little surprised. Buck was as blunt as he was, knowing how he feels about Kevin Cash.
Mm-hmm.
My take on this is it didn't surprise me. I was expecting it. I mean, I can't defend it. And I don't know if I was in Kevin Cash's situation. Yeah, you know what? If I was in Kevin Cash's situation, I probably would have done the same thing. Because you know, Kevin Cash knows who signs his paycheck.
Job security.
And absolutely.
Yep.
But anyhow, we can. That's our point of view. That's my point of view. I know. I'm sure Kevin's got some thoughts. We'll get his thoughts on that, on the decision as well. You want to talk about the post-game celebration, whatever you want to talk about. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Look, is this the death of analytics? You want to go down that road, we can. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. *590, *590 is the text line, 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590. Jeffrey in Oshawa says, not enough talk about the fact that the Rays scored one run in Game 6. That cost them the game as much as the ill-advised pitching change.
Can't argue that.
Patience, Six, Jeffrey.
16 for 95 versus left-handers with 37 punch-outs.
0-4 with runners in scoring position the first 2 innings.
That's not getting it done. 70 yes, strikeouts in 6 games. That's... You know, 7-for-34 runners in scoring position, 3-for-16 with runners in scoring position and 2 outs. You know, no 2-strike approach. Willie Adames, the last at bat of the World Series, takes a giant hack from the hip. takes 2 heaters right down the middle for strike 3. Yeah. How do you do that ending the World Series? Go down a swinging if you're going to go down. I don't get it.
Eddie in Fort Erie. ¿Cómo está, Eddie?
Eddie.
BNE2, how are you guys?
Ooh, well, we're doing well. We're doing well. I'm, you know, Barker's. I think he thought I'd be a little down after my Rays took it on the chin. But you know, I'm comfortable with it. They went down the way the Rays. I knew the way the Rays would go down, making an analytical decision.
There you go.
Yeah, I have two things actually.
Yes,
one
sir.
About the Dodgers and one about the Rays. I want to talk about the Rays first. You know how we say sometimes in sports when we see something happen, like in baseball, whether it was one particular managerial mistake or one play that'll linger that franchise for the rest of their life.
Yep.
I got to wonder if this might linger for the Rays for a very long time until they themselves win a championship, because sooner or later you have to have trust in your players, the way that Dusty Baker had trust in Zach Greinke in the championship series. And you know, you have to put that aside and have some trust in your players because, you know, I mean, I'm still a fan. Don't get me wrong. I'm still a fan. But sooner or later, you have to have some trust in your players because they're the reason that they got you here. You have to stick with them until it's all over with.
Yeah, Eddie, now, I got to tell you, I got a feeling. And when that decision was made and when it unraveled, I mean, I'm with you. Look, the Rays are going to do what the Rays are going to do next year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that. But I really wonder if we're not going to be looking back at that decision. Like, I think that decision hangs over Kevin Cash for the rest of his career, maybe even more than some of the decisions Dave Roberts made.
Well, before I get to my next comment, I want to go a little step further. I wonder if, because this is the third time that Snell got pulled when he had his pitch count pretty good, and I wonder this might hurt trust in Snell so bad. What if he asked for a trade in the offseason and said, go trade me somewhere where I can be trusted instead of, like, you know, having come in, like, getting taken out at the last minute. Now, about the Dodgers, I'm very happy that they won it because you guys know they've been through so much playoff failures, just like the Nationals did last year, too. Remember, we were saying, when were they going to win their championship? And they did last year. Same thing with the Dodgers. They finally did it. But you know what, Jeff? The Dodgers accomplished one thing. Now they have something else to accomplish because what we're seeing right now is what the Atlanta Braves have done for so many years. And you know that because you covered them.
That's
winning winning all those division titles, but only winning one World Series title. If they win one more championship, then they will eliminate anything that the Braves did during those dominant 15 division titles, going to the World Series and everything else like that. I think so. That's what they have to do, in my opinion.
Eddie, good call.
Their next mission.
Yeah. Yeah, good call. I appreciate you joining us. And yeah, I'm with you completely. I'm with you completely. And that was only, you know, the whole asterisk thing. I was speaking tongue in cheek. I'm with you. I'm with you completely. That's the next step for the Dodgers is to defend the World Series because there are going to be people out there. Like, I guarantee you when the Dodgers go to San Diego or San Francisco this year, they're going to be roasted if there are fans in the stands. You know, you guys, they're going to be people holding asterisks up in the stands. You're going to be all that. Not that that necessarily matters to the Dodgers, I'm sure, but I am with you, Eddie. I think the follow-up act for the Dodgers will be intriguing, and that can finally finally remove that idea that it will prevent people from me, like me, from coming on and saying, yeah, I saw this with the Braves. They were great during the regular season. They steamrolled everybody, and then they spit out the bit in the postseason.
Yeah, they got Walker Buehler. That's something. They got Mookie Betts. You know, what do you do with Cody Bellinger? What do you do with Corey Seager? Corey Seager's coming up soon. How much you want to pay him? You know, he is a big shortstop, a tall, lanky guy that, you know, can't stay healthy. Are they willing to give him 150 large? That would probably be what it costs. You know, an MVP in a World Series and an NLCS is going to cost you a little bit of money. You know, that's a big deal. So it's, listen, World Series are hard to win. But when you have superstars, it makes it a little bit easier to win those.
Danny from Toronto. What's up, Danny?
Hey, Danny.
Hi. How you doing, fellas?
We're doing well.
That's very nice. All right. I didn't go to bed till 7 o'clock this morning.
Wow.
I get very upset. I'm never watching baseball again. I've been saying this for the last few years now. I even write a few things. I got some followers. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Dale is. Baseball is scripted now. I think maybe I'll go with pro wrestling. It's not as scripted. That decision was not made by Kevin Cash. That decision was made by the analytic Poindexters in the analytic department. It's been that the Jays were doing the same thing. Okay, baseball is a game of feel. I know they didn't score any runs, but how did Mookie Betts and Justin Turner and Max Muncy, Seager do against that?
Yeah.
I think they were 0 for 8, weren't they? I mean, the guy didn't walk a batter. What's the matter with winning the game 1-0? This is absolutely ridiculous. It's turned me off the game until I see somebody that will allow the manager, the field manager, to make the decisions on the field, damn it. I'm very upset still, as you can tell.
Yep. Yeah, and I know that you fired us, and thanks for the call. I know that you fired us a text message as well, Danny B. Appreciate it. Just be well. Look. There were a lot of people on social media saying that, and I recognized a couple of the names because they're folks who follow me and they're baseball fans. I don't know what to say. Analytics runs ownership. Analytics runs personnel departments. Analytics is going to continue to run the game on the field. It is. It's about risk management. Here's the thing. Teams spend millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in analytics. You are going to see analytics become more and more a focus of the way the game does business because it's more efficient than having 40 scouts and paying for 40 scouts to be all over Hell's Half Acre looking for players. Analytics aren't only here to stay. Analytics are going to run personnel decisions. They're going to run front offices. They're already playing a role in more things than we know. That's just a fact. And I don't think that's going to change. You are going to have, Kevin, you're going to have situations like Dusty Baker with Zach Greinke. You may, that is going to become so rare that, Jesus, we're still talking about it. You know, we're still talking about that decision. But there's a lot of things that baseball can't fight, and you simply cannot fight analytics. As long as a manager's job security is linked to doing what the front office wants them to do, you know, we all answer to somebody.
Okay, I saw some stats on Blake Snell that he faces the top of the order three times. ERA is somewhere over 10.
Mm-hmm.
75, over 75 pitches, the league's hitting about 350 off him. Knowing those, he had 73 pitches. He was rolling around to the 1-2-3 in the order. Would you have felt comfortable if you let him go, say, that inning, and let him go out for the next inning, gives up three runs?
Okay, let me.
Would you be okay with that? Knowing the stats that I just.
No, I've listen. Here's where I see what Kevin Cash has done. Kevin Cash has done what he did all year. Now, I heard people say, and I think it was Joe Siddle made the point, you know, during the postseason, they let Tyler Glasnow go a little longer. They let Charlie Morton go a little longer. These are the numbers with Blake Snell. Now, in terms of pitches thrown, he threw 73 pitches last night. Mm-hmm. So his postseason starts 82 pitches, 84, 105, 82, 88. In terms of number of pitches, he was good to go. He's only pitched 5 2/3 innings once, and that was against the Toronto Blue Jays, first game of the postseason. He's only thrown over 100 pitches three times during the regular season. So I guess what I'm saying, if you look at his postseason start, he went five innings in two of his other starts. He also went four innings and four and two-thirds innings. All I'm saying is Kevin Cash did last night what he has done all through the postseason. Doesn't matter how he treats Tyler Glasnow. Yeah. Doesn't matter how he treats Charlie Morton. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how he treats Ryan Yarbrough. It's what he does when Blake Snell is in the game. And I'm going to throw this out there to people. If Kevin Cash leaves Blake Snell in the game and he's pitching from the stretch for the first time, he gives up a two-run home run. Yeah. I don't know. He gives up a single. Whatever. Stuff happens.
Runs.
He gives up runs.
Yep.
What do you do if you're Kevin Cash and your general manager comes down in the office and says, the hell do you think we've been doing all year?
On the flip side of that, I said this in the morning show. If you're walking out to the mound, about to take him out, and you're asking yourself, am I handing the ball to a guy that's better than the guy I'm taking the ball from? If you can answer that with a yes, then I'm all for it. If you can answer that with a definite no, which is exactly what the answer was.
That's
Nick,
fair.
Nick
that's
Anderson
fair.
Wasn't
that's
as fair. Good as the guy that was on the mound now.
Cannot
that
argue.
That would be my answer to the people that came down and asked me why I did it.
Cannot argue.
There's your answer. Now,
But you can can understand. You can, again, I don't, I'm surprised that people are surprised by this. That's kind of where I'm coming from in this. Because I wasn't surprised at all. I'm watching a game with my wife, and I said, I'll take him out the second he gets a man on base.
A surprise.
Second he gets a man on base.
Other than everybody wanted to know what if. What if they left him in against the best lineup in baseball? He was carving them up, Jeff. You can see Mookie Betts looking over at Dave Roberts when they took him out, like that little smile, like, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
The hell are you channeling?
I was looking silly, like I've never hit before.
Dave Roberts.
I appreciate that.
Dave, are you suddenly managing the Rays? Go to Danny in Minneapolis, one of my favorite cities,
nice.
The Twin Cities. Love the Twin Cities. Oh, Christopher, sorry. I got all excited. I got the right city, got the wrong name. Go ahead, Christopher.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to talk to you again. You know, in light of the election down this way, I'm going to go ahead and start lobbying for Barker and Wilner in the booth next year. You guys have probably the best chemistry that I've ever heard in the booth.
What about me?
Well, you're basically a nice sideline guy. We'll keep you around.
Okay, that's okay. Could I live in Minneapolis? I would live it. Listen, I'm serious, man. I tell people. Like, I grew up in Winnipeg, so I know what winter's like. I love Minneapolis. There are three places in the U.S. I'd live. Three places in the U.S. I'd live. L.A., Minneapolis, and Miami Beach. That's it.
As long as I can move up to Vernon, British Columbia, and play every day at Predator Ridge Resort, we're in.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. What did you want to say, man?
A couple things.
Yep.
First of all, are you aware of the unique thing that just happened? And I'm going to share a quick story with
you.
A few years ago, I lived in Pittsburgh. And I had the privilege of being around when the Steelers won the Super Bowl, and only a few months later, the Penguins won the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. Now, last night something happened that I don't know if a lot of people realize. Okay, Urban Magic Johnson, a legend of the Lakers, his Lakers won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Not even 3 weeks later, his Dodgers won a championship.
That's true.
So, Magic Johnson may have just set the record getting two championship rings in less than 3 weeks.
Yeah, and God knows Magic needs him.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was pretty neat. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was, and Barker, I love how you talked about it earlier today on the morning show, but, you know, this was definitely a pure example of a computer taking over a baseball game. And, you know, my brother and I talk about it all the time. And, you know, we want to see a manager make the decisions, not the computer. And last night was the absolute perfect example of letting the computer take over. And while I understand analytics are here, while I understand that analytics have their place, they just don't have a place in deciding such thing as a World Series. And yes, Barker, you brought us some great stats on Snell in his third time around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But this is just one of those few times I would have at least left him in three, maybe four extra hitters, felt it out, then seen if I have to make a move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate
call.
It. Thanks for the kind words. I'm not surprised, but I see the other side. I really do. I see the other side. And look, I'm something Cito Gaston said, and Cito's going to join us on Writer's Block at 4 o'clock. And Cito Gaston said one time really stuck with me about guys who are rolling, pitchers who are rolling and then have to go into the stretch, like the fifth inning of a game, sixth inning of a game. Yeah. Guys just wind, you know, nobody's on base. You can just let it, to borrow your phrase, you can just let it eat, man. God, yeah. It doesn't matter. Ball in the dirt, pfft, make any difference.
Yeah.
And I've always kept that in mind. And I've had other managers say the same. Now, I'm not saying that as soon as a guy goes in the stretch, you take him out. But there are managers who will tell you that once that happens, you're starting to pay attention now. You're starting to look. Does arm angle? Is the velocity still there?
Sure.
Anyhow, I'm throwing that out there as a thing. 590-590 is a text line. Ken from Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Blair and Barker. What's up?
Hey, boys. Enjoy the show every day.
Thank you.
Maybe this highlights how asinine last night's poll was. You know, analytics are just averages, right? They're the history of the guy. And but the thing is, that guy can show up on any day and be, personally, that day below average condition or above average condition. Case in point, analytics say I'm going to put a three-inning pitcher in followed by a two-inning pitcher in. But your first pitcher can't get out of the first batter, can't get an outgoing. You leave them in for all three innings, notwithstanding.
Can I just jump in here for a minute? Because I want to point this out. Analytics aren't simply numbers and batting averages against. You know, I remember a discussion Charlie Montoyo had with us this first year managing the Blue Jays. And I don't know what, there was something with the lineup was, didn't make sense. And one of us just asked him, was that analytics? He said, yeah, it's about swing path. It's not about the numbers. It's not about lefty, righty, or this guy hits. It's not always about that. It's about how does this guy's swing path match up with where this dude throws the ball. So the only reason I'm putting that out there is because let's be clear about what we're talking about. We're not just talking about, dude hits 385 with two strikes in a dome stadium or anything like that. I mean, analytics are way beyond that. It's way beyond that. So I just got to throw that out there, that the stuff Kevin Cash is talking about and the stuff Kevin Cash is using and the stuff his front office is sending him is stuff we just can't imagine. I'm just throwing that out.
I agree, and I was being concise. And not to diminish, I believe in the analytics, not to diminish their value. The case I'm making, though, is about the value of what you're seeing in front of you. So if you're a scheduled three-inning starter, can't get out of the first, you throw the book away to go with the obvious, I got to take them out of here, and we adjust accordingly with new plans and whatnot. But you don't leave them in because he's playing below his expectation. So the same thing last night. When you have a pitcher, he wasn't playing to Trent. He was pitching lights out. He was going beyond your expectation. And at some point, why would you take him out? The same reason you would pull a pitcher for being bad. Why would you take him out for exceeding expectations right in front of your eyes? It doesn't make any sense that one's okay and the other's not.
Huh? That's a valid point. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Me personally, I think it's about job security. I really do think when somebody's trying to write you a check about, well, you know, we told you that if this happens, 75 pitch mark and third time through the order, and he goes out and gives it up, how do you explain that?
Chris in Milton, Ontario. This is a really good text. And again, 590-590. You can send us your text. I'll be monitoring it throughout Writer's Block too, because I know this is what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
This is from Chris in Milton, Ontario. Analytics can be a useful tool. In the accounting world, we use them too. The downfall is that they're based on average and historical data, which need to be combined with relevant current information and expectations to predict the future. Examples include Snell's current performance and Tampa Bay's recent bullpen performance. If every team uses strictly an analytical approach, baseball strategy will be predictable, and it will be impossible to gain an edge unless specifics are taken into account, as the Astros did in the ALCS.
It'd be interesting to ask the Rays, if they would tell you how many times they've done things because of analytics and it's worked.
Somebody wants to know, is it insane to think Manfred told Cash to pull Snell to avoid the chaos of a delayed game 7? yes, that would be insane. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. But what the hell? It's 2020. Have at it. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jazz and Milton on our text line, 590-590. How does Commissioner Rob Manfred squirm his way out of the fallout of the positive test of Turner? There's a new CBA upcoming. Time for a change. Jazz, you know, I'm hoping when Jeff Passan joins us on Writer's Block, because Passan was all over this, the story last night and broke the news, and quite frankly has, well, let's just say he's got a real good in with Rob Manfred. and I'll leave it at that. We need to know more of the details. I'm not standing in the fence here, because I think the problem is, look, Major League Baseball runs these jewel events, they're called. So the All-Star Game, the World Series, Major League Baseball's responsible for the security, all that stuff. It's run, and it's the same in every league. The championships are run by the league office. I don't know where to go here. This is the same sport that saw a team, the Cleveland Indians, send out two players to their alternate training site, Zach Plesac and Mike Clevenger, and end up trading one of those guys because they broke COVID-19 protocol. Go and read Tom Verducci's article on Sports Illustrated about what it was like to be in the bubble and just how he was fouled. Tom Verducci, sports writer, broadcaster, going out for a walk, security following him to make sure that he didn't go to the driving range. Like, read the story. All of this protocol that was put in place. And I'm going to add this, and this is what I think will really piss off a lot of players about Justin Turner. Keep in mind that the players wanted their families in the bubble. They wanted a more inclusive bubble. That's not ownership. That's not the general manager. That's not Rob Manfred. So what I'm saying here is there is, at this point, to me, the whole focus has to be, one, how the hell was the testing delayed? That's an issue, obviously. Mm. How the hell was Major League Baseball able to do this for the past 2 months? It was, 54 days without a positive test? So this stuff worked for 2 months, and you're going to tell me it didn't work in game 6. I need to know that. But I also need to put 99.9% of what happened on the field during the celebration on Justin Turner and his lack of responsibility.
So you think baseball is excited that the Dodgers won? Hurry up and get it over with, out of sight, out of mind, kind of thing.
No, because you know what would have happened? They would have done a whole bunch of... It's like, folks, do you honestly think the NFL has had that many inconclusive or negative tests? Come on. Major League Baseball probably would... If it had gone to Game 7, they would have postponed today's game. They would have done a bunch of tests. And I bet we would find out that Major League Baseball Game 7 would have been played tomorrow or maybe the day after. Wouldn't be the first time. God, I covered the Phillies and the Rays World Series where it pissed rain every day and it snowed. And the games kept being delayed. I mean, it was a joke. Mm. Anyhow. Sorry, who called in? Mike and Markham? Mike and Markham, or Mike from Markham. Markham, what's up, man?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. If I may, I just want to offer my thoughts on the whole Turner situation.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Here's the way I look at it. Forget all the baseball, forget all the other stuff. You got a human being sitting in an office somewhere or a room somewhere and being told that he's not going to be able to run out and cheer with his fellow players.
Right.
So he had a decision to make. And, you know, he's a human being. Give him credit, for sure. And we're all human beings, and we all have those moments where we do the right thing for the right reason, and then sometimes we do the wrong thing for the wrong reason. And unfortunately, in his case, he made the wrong decision for the wrong reason. And I'm getting to my point.
Yeah, that's fine.
And he will forever, historically, be remembered in that light. You could say selfish, you could say, anything, all kinds of terrible things. Now, here's what I'm trying to get to here, is if he had done the right thing, as painful as it would have been for him, knowing that he could potentially become a hot spot, patient zero, that would create pain and suffering for endless numbers of people that he can't imagine. If he had done the right thing and stayed in the room, he would be a hero right now.
Absolutely. He'd be in every there'd be PSAs coming out our yin yang with Justin Turner. This is how you react. This is how you defeat COVID-19.
And that would be his history. And that would be his vote on history. That he would be on talk shows. And unfortunately, we have good angels and the devil on the other shoulder. I totally understand the sacrifice.
Yes.
That would be.
Yeah.
But that's what would make him a hero.
That I'll tell you what, that's a, yeah. let me ask you this. He's a free agent. Should the Blue Jays go after him? Justin Turner?
I don't care.
Okay.
I'm not a baseball fan, mate. Okay. I mean, I'm just listening to this and thinking about the individual, because you always say about sports, it reflects humanity. It reflects the best and the worst of us sometimes. And that's just the way I look at it.
No,
I'm just thinking about it as an option to take a look at this.
Really well said. Yeah. I really, really appreciate the call.
Thanks for that.
Now, and that is terrific. That is terrific insight. What would have happened if, we'd be singing his praises. We'd be singing Justin Turner's praises. Tony in the Hammer. What's up, my friend?
Tony.
Hi, Jeff and Kevin. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
We're doing well. Thank you.
And one more thing before I start. Thanks for allowing Baseball Central to continue on into the baseball playoffs and the World Series. That was great of you guys to do.
Yeah. You can send our Dave Cadeau, our program director, a very nice letter and thank him for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that.
Absolutely.
Yes, for sure. Thanks for informing me of that. Yeah, I just want to talk about, by the way, further to your point about delaying a World Series, you remember the 89 series when they had the earthquake?
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah,
I was there.
You were there. So you remember that time,
yeah.
Jeff?
Yeah.
So they could have delayed this.
Yeah, it would have. That's not a story. They would have played Game 7 at some point.
Oh, yeah, they would have for sure. That's how I felt, too. One thing, I don't know if you guys remember Charlie Montoyo, his first year with the Blue Jays, 2019, when they interviewed him about analytics and fan graphs, after all, he came from the Rays organization, they asked him how he would manage games. And I think he said, yeah, he would use all that stuff, but he would also use gut feeling and the situation. Like, he'd make up his own decision.
Right.
My point is, is it too rigid? Like, is there no flex
and
maneuverability?
Yeah, that's a good call. I think it's more of, it's one thing of doing it in game 52 of a regular season. It's another thing to do it game 6 of the World Series.
Yeah. See, Tony, thanks for the call, because we're right up against the clock. Thanks for your kind words. And please, 590, 590 is a text line. Keep texting. I know you do. We will get to it. Look, you can't use analytics. I'm going to disagree with you. You can't use analytics in game 58 and then change your decision making in game 6 of the World Series. I think there's no halfway. You're in or you're out with analytics. And the thing that I always, always, always have been told is a manager's job is to put his players in the position to do the best they can. That's his job. I mean, we talk about you and John Gibbons apologizing.
I'm not sure that's his job.
But let me finish. But I'm saying that's what I've been told. We talk about Gibby apologizing to you, right? Because he put you in. Was it Gibby who apologized to you for pinching?
Put me in pinch hitting, yeah, and then apologized because I punched out.
Yeah, well, and in the case of the Tampa Bay Rays and Kevin Cash, the analytics tell them how to put their players into the best position possible to succeed.
Got to the World Series because of it.
That's exactly. So I don't buy the well, everything goes out the window in the World Series. Yeah, the games mean more. I get that. Even in a regular postseason, even if we were talking about 162 regular season games, and I don't know how many, 20, yeah. 25 postseason games, whatever. I think if you do it one way during the regular season, you do it the other way. Because I'll tell you this, if you leave Blake Snell in and it doesn't work out, what the hell are you going to do next year? What are you going to do with Ryan Yarbrough next year? What are you going to do with Tyler Glasnow? Players may not like it. Blake Snell doesn't like it. He can leave as a free agent, or he can demand a trade.
Yeah, you do it wrong in game six, there is no tomorrow. Regular season, there could be tomorrow. That's the difference for me.
That is it for us. We'll have plenty ahead in Baseball Central. Jeff Passan, the man who was all over the Justin Turner story, joins Stephen Brent and myself. Cito Gaston as well. Brian Burke will get his take on what went on. Lots ahead. Baseball Central is back tomorrow.